Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Mama had a good week. Yeah? All right. We had a good week. You should have a good day all day, every day. God's good, and He's always alive, right? So we ought to have a good day every day. Hey, I thought about just sitting on a stool today and talking to you guys, but I guess I'll walk around. You know. How else y'all going to see my boots if I don't walk around? Anyway, I'm just kidding. I really am kidding, okay? So don't anybody go out of here and get offended because Pastor talked about his boots. I'm kidding around. Okay, hey, I want to talk to you about some things today. I got a number of things, a number of different directions to go, but I want to make sure I don't get the cart before the horse. I do want to go and touch base on this because I didn't have a chance to last week, and hopefully everybody's healed. You know, I say that kind of tongue in cheek from the previous week and the elections and those kinds of things, but. I got up the next morning after the election, and I was like, man, there's a lot of Christians on Prozac today. Because they're all thinking that some guy is their savior. And it didn't happen. And, you know, I was reminded of this. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And this will kind of feed into what we're going to talk about today, but I want to touch base with some things. The challenge, folks, is that we have been kind of raised by a church system that really is pretty natural in its roots. I mean, we talk about Jesus as Lord and, you know, all the right things, but we really don't, that's not really where we're rooted. And to be honest with you, we're kind of rooted where the disciples were rooted before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which it shouldn't be that way. But Acts chapter 1, let me just read this and then I'll explain what I'm talking about from here. The first account I composed, this is Luke speaking. He's writing to Theophilus, which he also wrote the book of Luke to, and about all the things that Jesus began to do. Everybody say he began to do. You notice it doesn't say all the things that he finished. Because he's not. And, you know, in fact, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to grab this stool so I can just sit down on you guys' level. Is that all right? I don't lose the anointing if I sit down, right? There you go. All right. So Luke wrote this to Theophilus, and he says this is all about what Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. And to those he also presented himself alive after his suffering. Many convincing proofs appeared to them over a period of 40 days, speaking of the things concerning what? What was he speaking of? To them in the 40 days that he was with them. The kingdom of God. Y'all here today?
Yes.
Okay. How many of God likes vocal people? Vocal. Vocal. Not local. Yokel. Vocal. Vocal people. I hope this thing doesn't tip over. I mean, it kind of seems kind of... Anyway. just say I fell out under the power if I fall off this thing. Anyway, he says, he spoke to them the 40 days after he's resurrected about the things concerning the kingdom of God. And we're in a series right now in the middle of teaching on the kingdom of God. And there's a lot of things I believe the Lord wants to get over to us. But I want to touch base on some things, and then we're going to go back and we're going to look at some things that Isaiah brought out through the Spirit of God. And I want to bring you to a place of understanding what our assignment is. Okay, because everybody has an idea of what our assignment is, but I would rather go off of what the Word says our assignment is. Yep. Right? Yep. Everybody has all kinds of messages, and, you know, to be honest with you, we just kind of grabbed John the Baptist's message and went with that. If you look at his message was, you know, repent so your sins can be forgiven and believe in the one that's coming after me. And that's what the church has grabbed onto. But that's not our assignment. Now that everybody thinks I'm sacrilegious, I can prove it to you in the Word. Jesus said the thing, he said, just as you've sent me, Father, I'm sending them. Exact same assignment. And he talked about the kingdom of God. When he came into the earth, he talked about the kingdom of God. And like I said, if you go and look at the writing that Mark wrote, Mark was the first gospel that was ever written. First, chronologically, it was the first one that was written. And in the book of Mark, I know I've said this before, Jesus came on the scene and began to declare the kingdom of God is here. That was his message. And then you look at the next six or seven things that Jesus did, and you don't see one thing that he said. He doesn't tell you what he said. It just shows you what happened because of what he said. Okay? You'd think if we were supposed to get a verbal message that we're supposed to teach, that we would get it really, really clear, and straight out of the chutes, Jesus would have that. But his message was clear. It was the kingdom of God is here. And you know, I promise you, I'm just going to tell you this right now. I'm promising you in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to say some things that's going to hit somebody sideways. It's going to hit somebody sideways. And you may think, well, you're preaching heresy. But I'm not. I'm preaching, I'm giving you the Word. And we need to unreligiousize this thing, guys. You know, why would we grab onto something that's had zero fruit for 100 years? Well, I shouldn't say zero. It's not zero. It's had some fruit. But, you know, some of the fruit just rotted. Amen. Come on. That's true. So we need to get our assignment right. And we need to carry it out right. And we need to walk in it right. And we need to make sure that we're not damaged in our head so that we don't. And I'm putting myself in there along with everybody else. You understand that? Jesus is saying, 40 days he teaches them about the kingdom of God. And now think about this. This is how bright these guys are. Now again, this is before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is before them being full of the Spirit. But, you know, let's be honest. If we look at the Gospels, the guys in the Gospels are not the same guys in the book of Acts. Right? I mean, as far as it's the same men, but it's not the same people. Right? Can we agree on that? I mean, Peter was always fussing with John and jealous of John and didn't want John to have a better place with Jesus than he did. You know, and all this kind of, they're all fussing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. You know. Jesus, Lazarus dies. Jesus waits 4 days before he goes back on purpose. So he's good and dead. And then he goes back. And these guys are so bright, they said, hey, let's go back and die with him. So he's spending 40 days here. He spends 40 days after his resurrection talking to them about the kingdom of God. And what do they say? So, let's go with verse 6. Verse 6 says, so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you kidding me? You just spent 40 days. He's teaching you about the kingdom of God, and the question you got is, are we going to get the right man at the top now? Give me a break. Jesus says, well, look, guys, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that my Father has fixed by his own authority. He says, but let's go back to our topic. He says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's coming upon you, and you'll be witnesses of me. You'll be witnesses of me of what? You'll be witnesses of me that I'm actually alive. Because you're going to bring the kingdom just like I did. And just like you did with me when you were with me for the last 3.5 years. See, folks, we got to get this down. And sometimes I hesitate saying things about the general mindsets. Please understand that I'm not talking about structures. I'm not talking about buildings. I'm not talking about denominations or groups of people. I'm talking about mindsets. That's what we deal with, folks. We deal with mindsets. We don't deal with this group or that group or whatever. You understand that? I should never have anybody that come up here. I should never hear them ever come up here and slam the Catholics or slam the Baptists or slam the Lutherans or slam anybody. Because it has nothing to do with people. It has to do with mindsets. And let me tell you, there's enough messed up, screwed up mindsets in what we call, quote, full gospel Christianity as anybody else. Because if you're breathing, you're potential for a screwed up mindset. Right? Because it's the Holy Spirit who's the guy that's the Spirit of truth, and he's the one that knows what this says. So we ought to hang around with him. Right? So I don't care who's the president of the United States. Praise God, Barack Obama is the president. We're supposed to pray for our leaders, so let's just unleash Holy Spirit on him. I mean, he's a man. He's a spirit, right? He can hear the Spirit of God. I'm telling you this. I think there'll be a lot of folks really surprised at the next 4 years because they thought they were getting one thing and they don't get it. Do we really believe greater is he that's in us? That's why we whine about a guy at the top of the food chain. Honestly, why? See, I don't know, do we really believe that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? If we believe that, then you want to come behind whoever's in the White House and want to be a blessing to them, right? Because you're blessed to be a not a thorn, right? Man, we got things so screwed up. We got the ones that are supposed to be representing the nature of God, and they're screaming and yelling at people that don't have the nature of God, holding up a bunch of dumb picket signs and yelling and screaming and telling they're going to burn. And that's supposed to be the nature of Daddy. I think Jesus said something like, you don't know what spirit you're of. Right? So let me just, let's just kill that cow. And let's never revisit it again. We're not like natural men. We don't care who's in the White House. Because our assignment is not the White House. Our assignment's not the geographical location of the United States of America and what's being taught in the schools. Our assignment is not, whether or not they're thinking like we want them to think. Our assignment is to bring the kingdom of God. And let Daddy speak through us to people who don't know who Daddy is. And when we do that, that changes things. So let Daddy change things and stop trying to be the one that replaces the Spirit of God. It no work. Right? It just doesn't work. So praise God, Barack Obama is president. If Mitt Romney is president, and praise God, Mitt Romney is president, whoever's president, at least he's not an emperor who burns the whole place down and then blames it on the Christians. Go back and read some of your church history, man. You got it. We got a cakewalk compared to those guys. They didn't vote the emperor out every 4 years. Did you know there was people around Jesus that followed Jesus that were zealots, that all they cared about was the political system? That was their whole... And so the disciples were like, hey man, now that you won, are you gonna put the right guy at the top? Again? And he said, that's not what this is about. Our assignment is to bring the kingdom of God. You say, well, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Go back to the book of Isaiah. In the next couple of weeks, I want to share some things with you that, you know, I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't want to be that guy that comes back from a conference and just unloads it all. Because I've been under that guy. So this, I'm going to tell you, this really isn't about a conference. It's really about the things that we've already been talking about. I mean, we just happened to be, that conference thing just kind of happened to catch me in full stride. But the Spirit of God brought some things to my attention after the fact that I want to get over to you. Because understand something, this thing that's Best Life Church, it's not about me. It's not about her. To be honest with you, I mean, we've done the whole church thing before. And believe me, if there's anything out there, we've already seen it. We've already seen it, we've already done it. We've already, you know, I've been in this deal for 20-something years, and we've seen it all, done it all, it's nothing new. So Best Life Church wasn't my idea. The Lord kind of arrested me and arrested my wife, and at the same time, as a matter of fact, the same week, she was in a different state. And he got a hold of her, and he's got a hold of me, and he was telling me stuff, telling her stuff. So I'm under no illusion that this is one of my good ideas. Okay? As far as, you know, what we see right now, does it matter? We're not staying here. Because I didn't start this thing, so I don't have to keep it going. Amen. I have been a part of things that we started. And when you start it, you have to keep it going your own self, and that's not any fun. But having said that, I will say this, that because of the fact that this wasn't my idea, God gave us very specific directions on what we're going to do as far as what our assignment is. And he specifically told me, if you spend time with me, increase your time in praise and worship, I'll show you what to do. Be honest with you, when I first heard that, it got me real curious. And I began to do a lot of studying, because I knew how to study, man. I spent 18 years, 19 years, I knew how to study. In fact, he told me that one time. He says, you know, I know the work of your hands. I know what you know how to do. Man, I can study and I can tear apart a Greek word and a Hebrew word, and boy, I can give it to you. But he said, I'm going to change what you do. I'm going to change how you do it. And so he began to teach me about the things of the kingdom of God. And I got to tell you, it's really not too much like what we're seeing nowadays. Again, I'm not talking against people or any group or whatever. I'm just saying there's a way that seems right to a man. I don't want to do the way that seems right to a man. I'm going to do the way that Father said, this is the way we do it. You're in Isaiah, right? I want to deal with something today. I believe you're going to get it. And I believe that we're going to stop making excuses. I make that as a general statement, not anybody in this room. You understand? I'm just saying, as a whole, generally, the general mindset of people that are supposed to be new creation believers, we're going to stop making excuses. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we've been taught a lot of junk that really has to do with guarding our own self in the face of it didn't work. Okay? And we're going to deal with that issue today, and then next week I'm going to show you some other things. But I want you to see this in Isaiah chapter 9. Again, Isaiah's name means God is salvation. And I'm going to just take you through some verses. You know, when I was in Bible school, one of the things that was frowned upon was running verses. How many know what I mean when I say that? Running verses. In other words, you just go from this verse and you say, okay, turn to this verse and you read that verse, then you just go to another verse and read that verse, and you go to the next verse and you read that verse. Cause, you know, and so for like 18 years I didn't do that. If I had a verse, man, I had to rip it apart. I was going to show you upside down, backwards, forwards what it said. And we're going to teach some things. But I'm going to know if I show you a verse, and I give you what the Spirit of God is saying to me about that verse, you're getting taught some things. It's not, I'm not saying I'll never look in the Greek again. That's not what I'm saying, because I will. I promise. It's not saying I'll never look into the Hebrew and tear it apart again. I'm not saying that. I'll do that all the time. But what I want to show you today has nothing to do with theology. It has nothing to do with, you know, quote, what we believe. I wish we could just lose that statement. I hate that statement. Because really, I mean, we're not supposed to believe anything, we're supposed to become something. There's all kinds of believing. People believe this and they believe that and they believe this. But, you know, when you look at their life, that's not what they are. Right? And I've been there. Because it's the system teaches you to believe things. But the system never gives you the way to become that. And that's what we're going to talk about today and next week. The world is tired of people that believe things. The world believes things. An atheist believes things. So we got a whole hodgepodge mess of all these human beings that are breathing in and out, and they all believe something. That's like putting a bunch of people in a room, giving them an instrument and saying, play this thing. And so they're just making noise. Imagine how awful that sounds. That's what we have in the world. Oh, you might have a certain section, they all can play the same thing because they all kind of have the same bend. So they're kind of playing the same thing, but they're still, it's all just noise compared to everybody else. Folks, the days of us believing things are over. We need to quit believing things and just let those things become us. And by the time I'm done with this, you're going to know what I'm talking about. Otherwise, I failed in my communication. Here in Isaiah chapter 9, it starts off saying, in earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun. Now, this is, you understand, these are prophetic writings of Jesus. Because you can go into the Gospels and he even mentions these verses. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious. I wonder how he made it glorious. He showed up. And it says he'll make it glorious, and verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see great light, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And it says, you'll multiply the nation, you'll increase their gladness. Everybody say their gladness. So the kingdom has to have something to do with increasing gladness. Don't go there. If you spiritualize, you're going to miss it. He says, they'll be glad in your presence. So this kingdom of God has to have something to do with bringing his presence, right? I said, right? It has to have something to do with bringing his presence. And then it goes on, as the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoils, for you'll break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders. Now, we're going to see that brought up again. But what I want you to see here, keep going in chapter 9, and we read these verses just about in a month or so. We'll start reading these verses because of Christmas. And it says here in verse 6, it says, a child will be born, that's speaking of the humanity of Jesus, and a son will be given, that's talking about the second member of the Godhead. And it goes on to say, he will be given to us, and the government, everybody say the government.
The government.
What is the government?
Authority.
The kingdom. The disciples said, hey, okay, Jesus, so are you gonna return the government to us now? Sounds like what you've heard in the last 3 years. We don't need the right guy at the top to see the will of God in this nation. He goes on to say, he says, the child will be born, a son will be given, the government will rest on our shoulders. Is that what it says? Does it say that? The government will rest on our shoulders. It says his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. That means he talks to you. Mighty God. That means there's power there. Eternal Father. That means he's daddy to you. So far, three of those we don't really know much about. We've let systems tell us that he doesn't talk to you anymore. We've let systems tell us that there is no power anymore. He doesn't do that. And to be honest with you, most people really don't have a concept of daddy. Because their daddy sucked. Can I say that? We can edit it out if it's a problem. But what do? We associate our association. We associate our relation with him with some guy that's the natural guy. And if he didn't do a real good job, or we don't really know how to relate to Father, that's how we relate to him. The problem with that is he's not that guy. And the only way that we're going to execute our assignment is if we have fellowship with him. I'm not just talking about a concept of him. I'm talking about him. He's a real individual. He has real thoughts. He has real emotions. He has real desires. If we're going to live our life and just be comfortable with our own concept of him, and that's as far as we go, we open our Bible and we roll out our concept of him right next to us, and we read these scriptures and we spend time in the Word, but we're really not letting him talk to us, we're really letting this concept talk to us. Then we're really not any better than when we sat down, because we're just recycling the same mess that's between our own ears. You know how much stuff I heard this weekend from people who say, well, God told me this and God told me that and God this, that, and the other, and it was the most ridiculous stuff you ever heard. Why do they do that? Because, look guys, let's get real. We all want to be spiritual, right? I mean, all of us dudes, we all want to be spiritual, right? Well, why don't we just learn to really be spiritual instead of having to put a facade on? And that kind of goes for everybody. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, I really don't know. The only person that thinks you need to know it all is darkness, and that's the one that's putting pressure on you. I don't know every situation in this room, and I don't know everybody in this room's situation or what to do in every single situation, but I know the one that does. But hold on to your hat, so do you. I've had people leave this church because I didn't pray for people enough. Really? Now let me just deal with that, because I'm not coming from a bitter place. Okay, I promise. I'm not. But do we really? Let's take that concept and let's expand it and see it in its process and see what it produces. Do we really want to have a culture in a church where everybody has to run to the pastor to get prayer?
No.
No, we don't want that. Do we really want to have a situation where you believe in your head that unless the right person prays for you, you don't get any answers? Is God in you?
Yes.
Is the government on my shoulders?
No.
Well, hold on to your hat. You said that real easy, but is the government on your shoulders?
No.
So that means you're just as qualified to pray for somebody as I am. Right? Because the execution is the government. He said, look what he says here. This is awesome. He says, verse 7, he says, he called him Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, Prince of nothing missing or broken. 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government. There's no end to the increase. Everybody say, there's no end to the increase. You know why there's no end to the increase? Because it's the execution of that increase is not on your shoulders or on my shoulders. The execution of that increase is on his shoulders. So don't give me this crap. Can I say that too? We'll edit that out too. That there's something out there that will stop the expansion of the kingdom of God. There isn't. Because he says here there's no end to the increase of the kingdom. Or of peace, which means the result of it, which is nothing missing or broken. Why is there no end to the increase of that, the government of that kingdom and its result, which is nothing missing or broken? Because the execution of that is on his shoulders. You know, we hit a few sacred cows. Can I hit a few more? Go over to Mark. I told you I'm gonna say some things that might hit somebody sideways, but don't do what the hometown people of Jesus did and take a hold of offense, okay? Because if you don't take a hold of offense, you'll learn something. And I'm not speaking against any individuals, but I'm going to just be honest with you. How many know we bring stuff over from every place we've been?
Yep.
We do. I mean, that's just human beings. We do. You can get a room full of folks in a church, and every one of those people has brought something, experience or something from somewhere else, and they want it there. Well, we think you should be praying for everybody. Where did you get that blueprint? As if I'm the only person that's got enough juice to... I'm going to be honest with you. There are days when I walk in here that if I was going to go off of my feelings, y'all better just, you get up here and preach and I'll sit in the chair. But we all have the same spirit on the inside of us, right? If you're a new creation, you got the same spirit as I have. And you got the same daddy as I've got, right? The only difference between anybody in this room is How much time do you spend with him? Because what you do in secret shows up in public. And we can't afford to be in a position to let ourselves, people's lives are depending on, and we just don't spend any time with him. You know, the government's still on his shoulders, but he needs us to hear things. Right? He went with them, working with them, signs following the word, right? So, I want to deal with this issue about praying for people, okay? We are going to go back to Isaiah, well, yeah, maybe. But I want to deal with this issue of praying for people because here's what I was taught. Can I be real today or is that not allowed? Here's what I was taught. Well, in order to minister healing to people, they gotta have faith. And they gotta have faith, so, you know, we gotta get them the word. And you got to make them meditate on the word, and they got to get the faith, and you got to get faith. And we quote Matthew, Mark, look at John. No, Luke and John. And we quote all those guys in there, remember Jesus said you got to have faith. Can I ask you a question? Were any of those guys in the Gospels new creations? Yes or no? Is anybody in here? God likes vocal people. If you're thinking no, that's the right answer. None of those guys in the Gospels are new creations. Right? The only new creation on the scene was who? Jesus. And, you know, did he say things like, well, your faith has made you whole? He did say those things, right? We read them again. Was it Hebrews 11, 1, faith? No. How could it be a Hebrews 11, 1, faith when that's for the new creation? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Doesn't the Bible say that man looks on the outward? Well then how can you, don't be flip-flopping your theology. This is the problem with learning theology. There's nothing wrong with learning it, but if we don't see it accurately, the big picture, then it's just subjects and we just know subjects. But they don't gel. If natural man looks on the outward, then how is those people that Jesus ministered to getting any kind of evidence of the things that aren't seen? When all they see is what they see. And then you have folks say, well, you know, they got to get faith, and we got to develop faith, and we got to get them, you know, we got to get them believing. So we put this big old collar on them. And now, you got to buck up, man. You got to have faith. You want to get out from under this, and you got to have faith. So here these people are, they're being crushed by darkness, and so we want to put this big old weight on them and say, now. Get out from under this and you got it. And we quote verses like, well, see, Jesus couldn't do any mighty works in his own hometown because of unbelief. Right? Don't we quote those verses? Don't we quote that verse? Have you ever looked at that verse close? What did I say, Mark? Why am I over here in Luke? Mark. Chapter 6. We'll look at the verse that's always quoted, but then I want to take you back into the context. Uh, Well, no, let's just read from chapter 6 down. It's pretty close. Jesus went out from there and came into the hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And where was he at again? Where was he at? His hometown. But where was he at in his hometown? In a synagogue, right? Was he out on the streets? No, where was he? In the synagogue. He was in a building. And it said, since everybody knew who he was, and the Sabbath came, and they began to teach in the synagogue, and many listeners were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, and what is this wisdom given to him, and such miracles as were performed by his hands? You say, why'd you read it like that for? Because, verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Jose? I say that for the brothers down south. Judas and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? And they what? What? They took offense at him. And then it says, this is the part we quote. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and among his own relatives, his own household. And he could do no miracle there except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them and he wondered at their unbelief. So we make unbelief be the issue. See, we gotta get the unbelief out of the people. Why did we only take half the truth? It wasn't the unbelief that was the issue. It was the effect that they took offense. Hello? Let me ask you a question. When you're offended at somebody, are you going to go hear him speak someplace else? So when it says that he didn't do any mighty works in his own hometown except to heal a few sick folks, where did you ever get the idea that there were masses of crowds like there were every place else? You see how we've read things into things and it's not there. Every place else it says large crowds followed him. Right? Do you see anywhere where it says any kind of crowds at all were with him at all? He didn't do any mighty works because nobody came to hear him talk. He was in the synagogue. He wasn't out on the streets. There wasn't large crowds following him. Why? Because they're offended. They already know this guy. Man, I grew up with him, man. I babysat this dude. Who does he think he is? But it still says, you notice it didn't say he did nothing. It still says he laid his hands on a few sick folks and he healed them. Because that's maybe the only ones that showed up. We gotta quit reading this Bible religiously and making assumptions that just aren't there. Don't give me this crap that, well, you can't do the works of Jesus because unbelief will stop you. Really? I thought you said greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Do we believe that, or is that just something we like to say to make ourselves feel better? I told you I was going to say some stuff to hit you sideways. Did it say in Isaiah that there was going to be an increase in the kingdom except when people didn't believe? Is that what it says? These signs that follow them that, the believing has to do with the people that are the carriers. Isn't that what it says? These signs follow them that believe in my name, not the ones that are being ministered to, but the ones that are the ministers. Right? Isn't it interesting that we've kind of put the load off on the persons that's supposed to be receiving instead of just owning up and saying, you know what, I don't really know that I'm versed in this. I'm not really developed in this. I'm learning, but I'm not where I want to be. But thank you for letting me pray for you because you really showed a humble spirit, and Jesus just thinks you're amazing. And I'm going to continue to develop in this. Why wouldn't we just say that? Man, it's hard. You could hear a pin drop in here, can't you? Well, except for that air conditioner. See, the issue with faith is not on the people. The issue with faith is us. The problem is the system has trained us how to live disconnected. And it's sowed all kinds of weeds and tares into our thinking. So we're the ones that have to work through a bunch of mess in the process of us bringing the kingdom. Folks, look. Jesus explained a number of times in here how you bring the kingdom. He said things like, when you're standing in front of people, don't pre-think what you're going to say, because your Father will give you what to say. Right? The challenge is, if we don't hang out with Daddy, He doesn't get to train us in His heart. Because there's nothing on God's end that's stopping the kingdom of God. There'll be no end to the increase of His kingdom. In fact, go over to Matthew, and let me show you some things here. We've looked at these verses before, but I want you to see them in this context. Jesus is saying, he's talking about the kingdom of God. Now, wait, before you hold your finger here and go back to the beginning of Matthew. Okay? So, we see, because everybody has their own concept of what the kingdom is too, don't they? Let's just get what Matthew describes what the kingdom was and what happened. And that way we can plug that understanding into what he's saying over in the 13th chapter. And so Matthew, look at again, chapter 4, let's just look there. That's kind of where it starts. In verse 23, Jesus was going about throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the what? The gospel of the what? The kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Do you mean to tell me? Do you mean to tell me that when Jesus first started his ministry, that everybody's faith switch was all turned on? Yet he went about declaring the gospel of the kingdom. So there's something in that content of declaring the gospel of the kingdom. And he went about healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people as long as they believed. Is that what it says? They brought to him all who were ill, who suffered with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics. That's a pretty good list of different things. And he healed them, and large crowds followed him. You know, she didn't see that over in his hometown. Folks, don't ever use that verse ever again for an excuse why things don't happen. Because it's just not so. You can't take a half a truth and make it be so. There was unbelief, because it wasn't just unbelief, man. These guys were offended. Remember what Jesus said? Get this. Those that are not against us are for us. Those that are not against us are for us. Let me say that again. Those that are not against us are for us. If somebody's against you, that means they're offended. Right? I said, right? But Jesus makes a pretty broad brush statement. Those that are not against you are for you. See, you just need people to be for you. You need people to have their expectations the same place yours is. Do they have to have vast theological training and have their mind totally renewed? That sounds real good, but that's just not so. Because if it was, then don't tell me greater is he that's in you, because it's not. I know, am I being real enough, guys? I know this has hit people sideways, but you know what? We need to get hit sideways because we've been so trained by a system that makes all kinds of excuses as to why things aren't, and it's okay. Because it's always somebody else's fault. Folks, we don't load the pressure of believing on the people that are already under the bondage. They just want to be free. Everybody just wants to be free. Notice what he says here in... Okay, so... the kingdom of God is... one dominion replaces another. Right? All the ones that were on, under the dominion or oppression of the devil, with all these diseases and everything, he came declaring the kingdom of God is here, and he healed all those that were oppressed of the devil. Large crowds followed him. Now, that's the definition of the kingdom. Did it say anything about going to heaven?
No.
Why do we change it? Because it's easier. Why can't we just understand that everybody's in a different process, and we all just have, we really have all the same desire. We all have the same desire, just we want to know Daddy. And so we want to spend time with Daddy as much as we possibly can. And as a result of spending time with Daddy, we get out among people and we just talk about how good Daddy is. If I had time today, I'd take you to all these verses in Isaiah, and every single one of them is showing, Isaiah is showing a picture of, because of Father's goodness, a people show up on the scene and they bring those things that are barren and they make them fruitful. They go into those places that are torn down and in ruins, and it reverses it, and they raise up, and things get restored and fixed. Nowhere in those prophetic words that show about the time that we live in right now, nowhere in there does it ever show anything about darkness has more power than this movement of restoration, so there'll be some places where it just doesn't happen. And look, guys, well, let's just, I'm trying to get over here, Matthew, aren't I? Matthew chapter 13. Well, on the way to 13, look at 10. How many love the prosperity message? Don't be shy. How many have heard that verse? Give and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God, you know, it'll be given unto you. Under your whatever. Did you know that verse goes really in the context, if you read the context of that, Luke 6 and Matthew 10, it's the same context, and it doesn't have anything to do with trying to get prosperous. I'm not bad mouthing, I'm just saying, you know, let's put things back in the context. Because Daddy has a better system. Luke chapter 10, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And the name, and he lists off the name of the 12 disciples. He did this again for the 70 later on in this letter, his book. And he says, Jesus said, look, go, don't go in the way of the Gentiles, but go into the city of the Samaritans, but go into the house of the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is here. Preach the kingdom is here. That's with your words. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you receive, freely give. What? Freely you've received? But I thought it was dependent on somebody else. That's not what Jesus said. Is that what Jesus said? He said, freely you've received, so freely give. What did they freely receive? The kingdom. The kingdom belongs to you. So you go into these cities ahead of me and you declare, you make the declaration, the kingdom of God is here. That's what you say. But what you do is, you heal the sick. Now, let me ask you a question. Whose shoulders was the kingdom on? Jesus, not these guys. They were just supposed to walk out what was so. So there's no pressure. So they went and they did it. And it says, he says, freely you receive, freely give. He says, do not inquire for gold or silver or copper, for the money's belt. You know why I said that? Because if you put this verse with Luke 6:38, what you find is, this is the system of the kingdom, guys. We bring the kingdom. Natural man sows the substance towards the kingdom. That's the way the system is. Because natural man came from that kingdom. That's their identity. They want back in it. And you speak to them. When you stand in front of somebody, there's this testimony. Some folks that we were amongst up there. I say up there. Where's California? Down, up, whatever it is. Over there, wherever. And literally, look, if you can picture a lot of people walking up and down the streets in a city, just living life, going into shops, going into restaurants, eating, doing what you normally do. But in the process of doing what you normally do, you're bringing the kingdom. Let me ask you a question. How hard is it for an individual to stand in front of another individual and say, I just want to tell you this, that Jesus thinks you're amazing. And he loves you a lot. Was that a great, big, giant theological bundle to handle? No. Do you know what happened? Well, this one particular testimony, this lady, she owns the shop. She proceeds to walk out from behind the counter. She goes to the front door. She closes it and she locks it and she puts the close sign out. She turns around. And she just fell apart. Do you know how many stories we came across that human beings just don't know they are loved? They don't know. We get so used to doing our church thing and our church people and our church Christianese and our this and that and the other. And we don't even realize that people just don't even know that they're loved. So when somebody just goes up to them and says, I just felt like I need to tell you, God thinks you're amazing. What does the word say God is? So daddy's love. So when you bring the kingdom, at the least, we're bringing the love of Father, right? Does that take some heavy, revy preparation to do that kind of thing? Do we have to meditate in 47 scriptures and read 1,800 healing books and then give all those 1,800 to the people we're ministering to so they can make sure they're thinking like me, so we can make sure that, you know, we've made this thing so hard. There's no end to the increase of His kingdom because the government is on His shoulders. I heard a guy say this one time, and I thought it was funny. He said, "I can't heal a gnat's eyeball." Let's just get this out of the way, okay? Nobody in this room can heal a gnat's eyeball. Right? Everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
If you don't, come lay your hands on me. Just in your own name. So now we got that out of the way. We're all on the same page. But what we do have, Daddy. And we do have the Holy Spirit in us. And we do have the power of God in us. And we do have that scripture that says, "Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world." I know a guy, went to the mall, talked to this lady, her whole leg wouldn't even bend. She's smoking a cigarette. He starts talking about her knee. "What's going on with your leg?" She says, "Oh, it doesn't bend. It doesn't bend." Her friend's with her. Do you think she had a lot of faith? She didn't even know what was going on. She's just having a conversation with a dude. All of a sudden, he drops to his knees and says, "Watch, you're going to like this. Watch this." Lays his hands on her knees and says, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to be made whole and bend." Nothing happened. He thought I was going to say, and she jumped up and ran down the ground. Nothing happened. He did it again. Nothing happened. He did it again. Nothing happened. He did it 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Nothing happened. Most people would be gone by 2. Well, she just didn't have enough faith. The faith's not on their end. The faith's on our end. We're the ones that are carrying the kingdom, not them. Right? I said right? The 9th time, he goes down, and he's just that tenacious. He said, "I said in the name of Jesus, you're made whole, and you be made well, and you bend." And all of a sudden, her leg goes, and she goes, "Ooh." She said, "Well, that was different." Was she expecting anything? No. And all of a sudden, then she drops to her knees, and she's like doing this, and she's like, "Wow, I haven't ever do this." And her friend is right there just totally beside herself. There wasn't any faith in the whole mix of things. There was just one guy who knew the kingdom of God is in me. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now the only way that's not true is if you think the unbelief comes someplace else than the world. Now, I said Matthew 13, so let's go there just real quick. So Jesus said, "Freely you've received, freely give." Chapter 13, Jesus says this. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. And he goes in verse 24, Jesus presented in Matthew 13, Jesus presented another parable to say, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to, and yet he talks about good seed sown in the field. Notice he said good seed. He goes on to explain this parable, says that seed is actually human beings. Okay? So at least you think he's saying that seeds are words. He says these good seeds are human beings. They're kingdom people. Okay? And notice what it says. The kingdom of heaven can be compared to a man who sows. Now he's the man, because the kingdom's on his shoulders. Sowed good seed into his field. The field is the world, he tells you. And he says the good seed is people of righteousness that are bringing the kingdom. And he says, and while the men are sleeping, the enemy comes in and sows tares. They're also people. Among the wheat. And they went away. And when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, you notice it didn't say if. Does it say if? No, seriously, does it say anywhere in there if? Like there's a possibility that it won't happen. You know why? Because greater is he that's in these seeds than he that's in the world's seeds. They just come up. I don't give a rip if you're surrounded by a bunch of tares. They come up. My word produces after my kind. It will not return to me void. Did it say, as long as everybody believes it? Who's the word originating with? Coming through who? Man. You talk about a promise. So what you're telling me, Daddy, is when I start talking about your kingdom and how good you are and just talking about you like you really exist, as soon as I let that stuff come out my mouth, you're guaranteeing me that the kingdom reproduces itself. Yes, that's what he's saying. Why have we made excuses to the contrary? He goes on to say in verse 31. He presented another parable to them saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field." Now, the seed represents the kingdom, right? So the kingdom comes into the world, because the field is the world, right? And it's the smallest seed, but when, notice it says when it's full grown. When it's full grown. Not if it ever gets to be full grown. Can you see that word? Does your translation say when? When it's full grown, it's larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree. And they said, the birds of the air come and rest on it. Now, notice 33. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like what? My translation says leaven. Some say yeast. Everybody know what yeast is? The kingdom of heaven is like yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour, and part of it was leavened. Is that what it says? So are those pictures of the kingdom expanding and the increase of the kingdom happening and not being stopped? So where do we get this idea that we have to put all these loads and all these burdens on top of people that are already burdened and under the yoke of oppression? But we got to put all this mess on them so that we can get them free. Now you're just putting more bondage on them, man. You know, the biggest challenge that people have that can't get free, and it's only this, is because they don't know how much they're loved. That's it. They don't need to know 47 scriptures and quote half the New Testament and know all the healing scriptures and everything else to get free. They don't know they're loved. They don't know how much they're loved. So why don't we do this? Why don't we create a culture that our whole bend is just A, spend time with Daddy all we can. Because let me tell you what happens when you do that. How many love the gifts of the Spirit? How many wish they flowed through you? Did you know that they do? But they do because we keep ourselves in the love of Daddy. Because with, and I've said this before, with Daddy's love comes Daddy's insight. when we spend time with Daddy, His love floods us. As a result of that, we just love people. And when we love people, He starts talking to us about those people. He starts showing things about those people. How many of you have been around, been in a scenario where all of a sudden you had a headache? Or some place just started hurting? Here's what a normal person does. Man, I can't believe my back is hurting. Golly. Or man, my head starts hurting. I know my head's hurting. I'm talking about Christians. When you don't realize that maybe your head's hurting because the guy over here, his head's hurt. Or maybe you're at a restaurant, maybe your head starts to hurt. And instead of saying, man, my head hurts. Oh, my head, we gotta go, my head's starting to hurt. Why don't you ask the waiter, do you have a pain right here? Right back here. I guarantee, you know, somebody around there does. Because how many know that's a word of knowledge? See, we've walked in these things and we don't even know what we're doing. We don't even realize that this is how some of these things function. Now, hey, I'm going to tell on me. Y'all can tell on yourself anytime you want. I had a situation one time where I walked out of a building. I walked to the corner stoplight. And all of a sudden, I had a pain back here where my kidney is. Give me a break. I don't get that kind of stuff. You know, for me physically, in me. And I'm like, man. So I started looking around. It's nighttime. I look across the street and there's a lady walking up and down the street and she's on her cell phone. Now I would almost be willing to bet that if I walked over there, interrupted her phone call, and I didn't, maybe I should have. But if I had interrupted her phone call and said, excuse me, do you have a pain right back here? She probably would have said, well, yeah, I do. How'd you know that? Because that pain wasn't for me, that was her, and it was what she was showing me. See, we all these kind of things, they function. This is how the kingdom functions. This is how the gifts of the Spirit function. Look, folks, I started off by saying this, and I'm done. I know I went a little late, but I guess if y'all don't show up next week, I'll just start over. But anyway, I started off saying what I did about this isn't my idea because I love the fact that God chose me and Shelby to pastor Best Life Church. And we're going to do that, and we're, you know, and, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself into next week, but whether there was anybody in the seats or not, we'd still do the same thing. Because somewhere out there is my keyboard player. Somewhere out there is my praise and worship leader. Somewhere out there is my drummer. Somewhere out there is children's minister. Somewhere out there is my administrator. Somewhere out there is... And so, you know, if folks leave because I don't do things the way they think I should do things, I hate that because that's like the older brother syndrome, but it doesn't hurt anybody except the people that leave. Because we're just going to find somebody else. Because our assignment is out there. Our assignment is people. And we don't need to be theological geniuses to just tell people, Jesus thinks you're amazing. You got anything going on with your body, though? You know how many people we came in contact with that said, well, yeah, my head hurts or this or that or whatever. And you bring the kingdom. The kingdom of God is here. He loves you so much. Can I pray for that? Some folks don't even ask, man. They just watch this. And you just bring it. Because that's really what our assignment is to bring the kingdom of God. If you look in the book of Acts, you're going to find out what I'm saying is true. They preached the lordship of Jesus and they brought the kingdom. And things happened. Well, at the least, the minimum of the kingdom is the execution of the love of Daddy. So let's just spend time with him and bring that to start with. You say, well, I've never laid hands on anybody and I've never healed anybody. You don't need to heal anybody. It's not your job. It's on his shoulders, not yours. You just love people. Can we just talk about Jesus like he's really with us? And instead of talking about him like he's holed up in some closet someplace? And that, you know, if I trust you enough, I'll mention his name. If you're nice. It's 12:03, and I think we're done. I was going to ask you to tell you one quick story, but maybe I'll save it for later. You want to hear one quick story?
Sure.
Do you care? I mean, I won't. I want to respect your time. How many know that the biggest threat in the world today is Muslims, supposedly? That's what people say. But you know, the reality of it is I listened to a guy who is, he's standing in front of a Muslim guy in Jerusalem and said, this guy, his son was shot probably by an American, and from that day on, he hated America and he swore he would never speak English ever again. And this guy stood in front of him and he talked to him like he's talking to him. He's got his interpreter over here and this guy's interpreting for him, even though he hears exactly what this guy's saying. And he wouldn't even look at him. And the American came over and stood right in front of him and said, look, I'm not going to play around. I'm sorry for what happened to your son. And I'm sorry that you think that's what America is about. But I'm talking about Jesus. And Jesus thinks you're amazing. In fact, and he began to talk to him about, he'd seen him walking up the road and the guy's dragging half of his body behind him because the whole right side or left side of his body had a stroke. After his son was shot, he had a stroke. And so from that day on, he's just dragging his leg behind him everywhere he goes. This is an older guy. Now, this is one of these high up religious guys. Okay, he's not just some guy on the street. He's an older guy. He's got all the garb on. He's a high up there Muslim guy. And this gentleman just began to talk to him, and he says, "I'm going to pray. You're going to let me pray for you, and Jesus is going to set you free because he loves you, and that's just who he is." He laid hands on him and commanded that whole thing to be made right, be made whole in the name of Jesus. And that guy's body became, he started having feeling in his body. And all of a sudden now, everything functions like it's supposed to. You know the very next thing he did? He began to look at him and speak in English. Look, I told you all this I told you today. And I know I put myself at risk because I know there's folks that maybe you have challenges with this. Can I be honest with you? I would have had challenges with this too. But look, I'm at the place where we need to stop making excuses for why things don't work and just, as a little kid, go out there and act like Jesus is really with us. Because theologically, we say all kinds of stuff theologically. Well, let's stop talking about Jesus like he's holed up in a closet someplace. Let's start talking like he's with us right where we're talking. Because is he? Well, yeah, he is. So why don't we talk like that? We're the ones that have made it weird. Because darkness puts pressure on you to shut up. We're the ones that made it weird. The world doesn't know anything. You know, they might react initially like, okay. But we don't just talk. The kingdom is not just words. The kingdom is power. Right? Isn't that what Paul said? So therefore, if there's no end to the increase of his kingdom, it must be separate from, and not just solely dependent on words. Did you hear what I just said? If there's no end to the increase of the kingdom, then it has to be something about that that's not just solely dependent on what you say. There has to be something else to it. Next time you're in front of somebody and you get this thought, well, I don't know if they believe. Let's just address the elephant in the room and tell them, look, I know you don't believe in none of this stuff. Good for you. Don't have to, don't care. I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about the issue of you want to be made whole, right? Jesus thinks you're amazing. And he wants to set you free right now. So just deal with the whole unbelief thing. Who cares? Because if we really believe greater is he that's in me, then the unbelief that came from the world that's in him, what does that matter? I'm putting a challenge on all of us, including myself. We can either be a people that will forever sit on the sidelines and make excuses why things don't happen and be completely justified in our thought process, because you can bring any verse you want to out of there and make it so. Or we can just become like little kids, just like Jesus said. Talk about our best friend because he's with us wherever we go. And just start bringing the love of God and lay hands on the sick and see them recovered. When they do, you tell them the kingdom of God's here. And if they don't put something off on them. Are we mature enough in the love of God to look at the people and say, if you prayed for them 2-3 times or whatever and nothing seems to be happening, are we mature enough people in the love of God that it's not really about us? And we're not afraid to say, you know, I just want to thank you for letting me pray for you. I know that's a big thing. Kind of awkward sitting here in the middle of everybody, or standing out here in the middle of everybody. So I just want to thank you for, you know, you're pretty humble. You let me do that, and I just want to thank you for doing that. These are some things that I'm growing in. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to pray for you. And he does really love you, and I want to just declare that you're blessed. Are we big enough people to do that? Kind of tough, huh? Because the system has told us it's not our fault. I'm not saying it's anybody's fault. The fact is we're all in a process, and don't let a process stop us from stepping out. And if it doesn't produce what we want it to produce, don't put a millstone around somebody else's neck. Let's just be big enough in the love of God, because we don't get offended, we don't get hurt, and we don't take condemnation on us. To say, thank him and love on him some more, and say, thanks for letting me, give me the opportunity to pray for you. Do you think that's going to speak volumes to them? Yeah, it will. It will. I've heard stories of people getting, you know, they leave and they go home and two weeks, man, things just in their head. You know, Jesus, and they can't get away from it. Much less, this guy did not act like I thought a Christian was supposed to act. And God gets a hold of him. See, we're just planting seeds, man. Let's let the one that the kingdom rests on his shoulders, let's let him do the work. And let's just be normal. Let's keep it out of the realm of weird. Let's just live life and love people. And in the process of loving people, we do the kingdom. The kingdom is lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Did you get anything out of this at all? Thank you for letting me go a little longer. I know it's not normally this time, but I want to show you some things next week too. If anybody shows up next week, I'll show you some more things. Amen? Amen. Well, go ahead and stand up. Probably want to by now. I'm telling you, folks, I don't see it all, but I do have glimpses of what this church is. And please hear me when I say this. I'm saying this as humble as I possibly can, and there is absolutely no twist or no dig in anything I'm getting ready to say. Because I don't want to live there. I don't want to walk there. I don't want to speak from that place. But it hurts my heart when I see people that just have spiritual ADD and they just can't sit still long enough to stay seated and let God put into them what He wants to put into them to be a part of what He wants to do in this church. And so they just run off and leave. Go here, go someplace else. When if you're not hurting anybody. It doesn't hurt anybody. Because our assignment's still the same. We're still going to reach people and love people and minister to people and bring the kingdom to people. And down the road, when the church is in a fuller place to where things that I'm seeing now are actually so, somebody leaves and they missed out completely on all of the training, all of the development, all of the things that Daddy wanted to put in them to make them a part of what was going on and the flow of the culture of the church. And then they come back and they say, I wish I had stayed. I'm not saying that because, you know, of anybody in this room. I'm just saying, this is Jesus' deal. And I don't know it all, but I do know that I know the one that knows, and I know where we're going. And I know how He wants to get there. So I would say this, you know, if there's things that I said today that don't hit you right, just go pray about it. Pray for me, and I'm totally screwed up. Because I don't want to be screwed up. I don't want to wake up one day and, oh my gosh, I led the whole church off the cliff. So you pray for me. But I do know this. I'd rather, when this thing is over with, I'd rather Daddy say, man, son, you need to dial down some. You were just a little bit too vocal with me. Rather than saying, well, you're done. I want him to say, well done. Right? And I know that's you guys' hearts too. So thank you for letting me pour mine out. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for your love. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you love us beyond our imagination. And I would ask that you would cause these things that we've talked about to stir up in the hearts of the hearers. And that it'll provoke them to spend more time with you. Not just reading words, but wanting to know your mind. Wanting to know how you think. And allow themselves to become so full of you that when they get out in the midst of human beings, they just explode all over them. And Jesus, our best friend, is allowed to talk to people. And the kingdom comes because it's on His shoulders, and it just continues to increase and increase and increase. And I ask that you would knit these hearts that are in this room, that you'd knit them with us. Because you've knit ours with yours. And our best days and our greatest days are ahead of us. And I thank you for it, and I declare these people are blessed. Everything they put their hand to is blessed because they know your voice and they follow you. And everybody agree with that prayer said? Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.